שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman.
אנחנו פה לא שומעים אותך, שלום, הרב לייטמן.
שלום.
We can't hear you. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today we want to talk about listening. In life, we have many different interactions with people. We like when people listen to us. We try sometimes to listen to others. I'm not sure how good at it we really are. We'll try to learn something about this today. Nitza, please. First of all, listening is a very active action that requires attention and concentration and the willingness to be there for the person that you're listening to. And today we'd like to talk a bit about listening because, like Owen said, it's a basic need that people have. We see it on a baby since he's born. He's looking for someone to listen to him, and if someone's not listening, then he makes sure that everyone does. So today we'd like to understand and also maybe what's the difference between the ordinary way of listening. And there are many different techniques and methods that talk about listening, and the integral method of listening with the sole purpose of connecting people. So we'd like to understand how can listening bring people closer together, but, you know, in order to warm up, maybe just to understand, why is it so important for people to be listened to? Every person has, you know, self-pride, dignity. They want for people to listen to them, take them into consideration. And so we're very much concerned that people will listen to what we say. It seems to us that we're saying something important, something interesting, something that's good for everyone. And this is what everyone thinks. Because the main thing, you know, I remember that this one time I was at a women's meeting. I don't know, there were about 200 women there, something like that. And the question was, by what order do we speak? Because 200 women, and when will it be my turn to talk? Meaning, it's something that really concerns a person, that he wants to sound his voice, he wants to talk, he wants for others to listen to him. They'll say, what is their opinion about his ideas? And it doesn't matter even what are we talking about. A person wants to talk and for others to listen to him. Right, so if we're talking about an ordinary way of listening, then, you know, a person, he communicates some kind of experience, emotion, whatever. And the person listening can grasp all these things. So it's an emotional, intellectual process. There are plenty of things that the listener has to turn on. So we'd like to understand, inside this process, from within the understanding that this concept, principle of the connection or connection between people, that it makes our life better, that it improves our relationships and so on. We understand that we have to make this connection, establish it. How do we use then listening, which is seemingly something natural, in order to increase our connection? What's unique about connection for the sake, about listening for the sake of connection versus regular listening? Look, if I want to connect to some person, I show that I'm really listening and that what that person's saying is really important to me, and that I'm responding and that I'm responsive and that I want to be in an interaction with that person, that he sees it, and this way we come closer. Is it important for you to express your desire to come closer to me when you're listening to me, so that your listening will bring to a stronger connection between us? If I want to come closer to you, then, of course, I have to show that everything that you're saying is important to me. And then I can start asking questions and sounding my opinion. And this is how we reach a closer and closer connection. Sure. So would you define the what you just said as a basic principle, if I want to be a better listener? So the first principle for the sake of connection would be to give importance to the speaker. Of course, if you want to connect to someone, then come up to them and say, I heard that you said this and this, or that and that, and I didn't exactly understand. Maybe you can elaborate a bit or explain in a few words. I'm very sorry, but it's really interesting to me. And then you kind of make contact with that person. What does that do to a person? You raise their importance. And what does it do to them? It raises their pride, their self-dignity, importance, esteem. What it catches a person on the inside? Their ego, very directly, very strongly, very internally. What happens inside a person when suddenly someone lets them feel that what they're saying is important, that I'm listening because what you're saying is important? Of course, he feels that he's important. If someone else wants to know what is he saying, then it's a sign that he's important to someone. And what happens inside of him then? His pride grows, self-dignity. He can no longer disregard that person because the measure to which that person appreciates him, he has to appreciate him in return. Because otherwise, because by that he actually elevates himself through the other person. And after a person that listens, the listener, he lets the other person feel that he's important and that he's listening. Now, the listener, what is his inner state? Now, he has to provide the person who's asking him, the person who was inspired by his words. He has to give him attention now and to explain to him what is going on and take care of him. By that, he buys him. He wins him over. So, the entire weight is on the listener. If there's an interaction between two people, then the listener that comes from a point of a place of curiosity and interest, please explain what you said, he takes the wheel into his own hands and starts controlling the situation. Of course, he controls the speaker. And, okay, up until now, we talked about the listener, about the power that the listener has. Now let's go to the speaker. Even before someone gives him the feeling that he's important, what does the speaker need? What does this need? I don't know. Usually he wants for to be heard, that what he says, that it will be taken into account and that people will correctly respond to it, publicly even. And after someone opens himself up to listen to you, and you're the speaker, and you start talking, as a speaker, what should you focus on when you talk so that this will bring you to a state of stronger connection when you speak? To respect the other person, that your response is very important to me, and the way you appreciate what I said, and that I don't really find so many people that can take interest in the things that I say, and it's very important to me and very close, your response. In short, in return, he has to awaken and elevate that person who responded. Okay, suppose I'm the listener. I listen to the speaker. Do I have to accept what he says in order for us to stay in connection? If I need support, if I need encouragement, then of course I appreciate that person that comes to me, and this is what I said, that he's interested in you know, that he's interested, if not, but not. Agreeing with someone's words, is it a condition for the listening, for it to bring us to strong connection? For sure. You especially see it on women. I had this acquaintance, not a friend, but someone that I knew. And this is back when we were young, right? He could come up to any woman on the street and start talking to her. In 5 minutes, she was willing to go for a walk with him, to the movies. You know, he was really externally, he was nothing. Nothing special, but he knew how to talk in such a way. He knew what words to say. And we're talking about, you know, at the age of 20, 25, that I didn't see anyone refuse. What point does it touch in that person? How special of a woman you are. So is it what he said or his ability? Yeah, what he said, that there was no room here for, you know, there wasn't time for anything else, but a few words. And any woman really agreed to what he said because he spoke, you know, with great expression, beautifully. And sometimes I saw that he leaves, and you know that young lady used to look back as he left. She used to look at him that she'd like to bring him back. He knew how to pay attention. Yeah. This is what we're looking for, attention. You gave this as an example for that. Well, it's not only in regard to women. Only in regard to women, it's more, you know, common, customary. So, when listening, when I'm the listener, suppose I'm listening, I'm not doing the talking, but the main thing that I give the other side is attention. Yeah, that they're important, that this person is important to me. And therefore, I have to accept his words, not to criticize him or tell or say this or that, but I do have to agree with the other side. Yes, I agree and very much appreciate, and not only what I heard, but also himself, his personality, to accept him as he is without trying to change him. That's the main thing. Why? Because I appreciate the human part in him, the human in him. What he said, we could agree on some short passage from what he said, but here I have to express my attitude toward him as toward a complete human being. Okay, I want to give you a situation we're all familiar with from life. And let's look at it from the point of view of integral listening that can bring people closer together. A mother. She is very much engaged in what she's doing. Her son comes up, and he really, really wants to tell her something. And he needs for her to listen. But she's really bothered. She has 1,000 different things to do. And she says, honey, I can't right now, maybe later. And he tries later. And later, she's also very busy. You know, a mom in between, she has to this and that, 1,000 different things. And the child needed for her to listen. And he can't find that. He can't get her attention. He can't get her to listen. In such a case, how do you have to look at things differently and to allow room for listening with everything that's going on nonetheless? Because otherwise it distances them. She has to bring him into her workload and for him to talk there. What do you mean? Very simply, that what she's doing, that he'll stand next to her and do also something, what she's doing, and to tell her, what he wants to tell her. And he, the speaker, will feel, we divided into speaker and listener, right? So she has to allow him, meaning when he wants to express what he has on his heart, she has to make room for him to listen to him, even though that she's busy. Right. And now that he's talking, how should he relate to this? He has to understand that it's not exactly going as he planned, that she'll sit down and look at his mouth moving and listen with both ears to what he says. It's not happening. It's unrealistic. Life demands something else, and therefore he has to understand that if he'll join her life, then he'll be able to express everything that he wants. A mother, when she listens while doing something, what should she focus on for them to click? That she's willing to listen to him in anything and everything. Only that there are things that are, you know, beyond her own desire. She can't control it. Does that have an impact on the child that she's listening? She's giving him an example. We grow from these examples, and later on, it makes a human being out of us. It's an example for what? For the correct kind of connection, that correct connection for perception of reality, really. And how is that related to perception of reality? It has an impact over what? My mom was a doctor, my dad was a doctor, and when mom used to come home after work as a doctor, you know, it's terrible. I saw in her how she's really bothered and drained, and she, you know, then she goes into the housework, and there too, she has enough worries. And I really saw that she has to work from morning till evening, and that she doesn't have the time to listen to others. And how can I reach her and pull her attention to me? And therefore, I tried as much as possible not to burden her. You were a good kid. No, I found myself in other things. I want to give you another example. Many times a person feels something and he needs for someone to listen. And suppose he meets a friend and he tells him about whatever it is. And that friend, that all in all I want for him to listen, he's not listening. And half a second later, he already knows to tell me what's the solution. I didn't ask about the solution. I want for someone to listen, to open their heart to me. And many times we jump to, look, I'll tell you what to do. You didn't ask, but I already know what. Why is it so? Why are we so jumpy? Because you're not interested in the connection, but in the result. Okay, what do you mean? This is what it's about. Many times people want to connect to us. And they catch some idea, some story, something that happened, and we think that that's the main thing. But that's not the main thing. But the main thing is that we will give them attention, that maybe we'll sit on a bench someplace together and talk. This is how you have to pay a bit more attention to what is that person's purpose by doing what he's doing. Usually it doesn't have to directly do with the topic of the talk itself, but the topic is just a reason. So many times, actually, a person, thanks to the problem or distress that he experiences, he's looking for connection. He doesn't look for someone to solve his problem. True. Now, many times we see that if he is listened to, then he finds the strength to solve the problem himself and so on, because he already got the attention. Yeah. Most of our pleas to each other aren't in order to find a solution, but usually it's a result of, you know, lack of confidence or support from the other side. It's important to us that we're important to others, but not that I will be really happy to listen to their opinion and act accordingly. There are barely such cases. Okay, one more thing about the integral approach. We're talking about the approach, the connection between people. But is there some additional element that joins into this process when there is some kind of good listening between people? I'll ask again. It seems that ordinary listening is an interaction between two, three, or more people, and so on. Is there some additional factor that joins in when there is real, open, good, qualitative listening that comes out of a desire and the importance that you give to the other side? Is there some additional factor that joins into the system? There could be 1,000 different factors. What do politicians do? How is it between a husband and wife and a family or parents and children? Or at work, and everything. It turns out that we use all these situations in order to gain something completely different that is unrelated to the topic of the talk and so on. This is what we do. Suppose there's good listening. It creates a pleasant atmosphere. What is that pleasant atmosphere as opposed to an unpleasant atmosphere that's created when there is no listening? You have to work on the interconnection that exists between people. What do you mean by interconnection? That the other person that I talk to, first and foremost, I have to show them that I'm interested in our connection. I'm interested in it. And that no matter what happens, I feel pleasant to be with him, next to him, to be inspired by his words. And that I enjoy being next to him. For me, it's a time of pleasure. And he has to feel that he's doing me a big favor and that I really appreciate his attention and time that he dedicates. Okay. When there is already a connection made between the person talking and the person listening, in the contact between them, is it something, you know, just for that instant, or is there real contact, heart-to-heart contact made here? It all depends on how each of them sees the future, thinks about it. It's up to them. If it's a pleasant kind of contact, connection, then each of them will be interested to continue it. And it's all important about how do we seal this talk, or do we continue meeting in some way? How do I invite that person for a cup of coffee or to go together to a restaurant or something? Depends on. Okay. Suppose I see that someone talked to me and I wasn't really listening. What am I supposed to understand about myself from that? But it's an important talk. Yeah. Call that person and say that you didn't really understand probably what his intention was when you talked, and you're really asking them to, you know, explain it some more, that it's really important to you, but that by nature, you don't grasp things from the beginning. Yeah, but that's in retrospect. But when we're talking, what stands in the way of listening there and then? Maybe their personality rejects you, maybe you're in a certain inner state. But even without, in regard to that person that's in front of me, inside of me, what stands in my way of listening? Because the order of thoughts that are appearing in you now aren't exactly according to what's going on. Before you go to some talk, to something good, nice, important, you have to write some sequence of things that you want to scrutinize and then try and scrutinize them. And if not, you can ask. And if not, you can listen. If not, you can connect. But for them to be interested, to see that you're appreciating this connection. So the thoughts that run through my head were more important than what you said, and that's why I didn't listen. That too. Each of us is full of worries and concerns. What's the most important thing for us to take from this show about listening? The main thing is not how much you understand what you're being told, but the measure to which the person that you're meeting with, that he's inspired by the way you relate to them, treat them, your attitude towards them. That's the most important thing, to respect that person, but in a good, nice way, you know. If it's a woman, then to insinuate a bit about her beauty, about how she projects a good atmosphere around herself and so on. It depends on, you know, how can you talk to her? And so on. There are many things here that I'm not an expert in. So what is your expertise in regard to listening? For a long time, it's been a long time, so it's a long time now that I'm not meeting any people. And, you know, I'm all about teaching, and that's it practically. So you can't say that I meet people so that I have to think about how do I influence them. What does a Kabbalist listen to? His own heart. And the way that every time he can elevate himself above his own heart, elevate himself where? To a higher degree of in order to bestow. To a deeper connection with people. Not with people, but the force of bestow that we exist in, the upper force. Each of us is an egoist, a desire to receive, to enjoy, and we're all in a kind of bubble, galaxy, of the force of bestow and love. And then we have to listen, not to people or to ourselves, but to that force that we exist in. Dr. Lightman, that's beautiful. Thank you very much. Till next time, we wish you all the best. Bye.